The Around the League podcast is part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the League podcast. My name is Dan Hanses, and I'm joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, what's up? Now.
How are you, buddy?
Welcome back from the weekend. The first weekend that had NFL football in it.
Well, it wasn't a full weekend for you, Dan, because you were here doing a little Hall of Fame game action. Wessling was breaking down the Hall of Fame induction ceremony Saturday night. Good
Wes,
times.
You really enjoyed that, from what I understand.
It was ponderous.
Oh, wow. That's harsh.
Why do you say that?
The average speech was about 47 minutes.
It was longer. The average speeches this year were way, way longer than they usually are, for whatever reason. That's
they
a fact.
It's they
a
really fact. Should put a hard out. I would even go as far as to use the NFL Films music that we all love to play out certain players when they get inducted. You know, you would give, for instance, Strahan, you don't play him off, but you would play off, I don't know, Aeneas Williams, he gets played off.
So
that's harsh.
I mean, are we calling the speeches off the rails to some degree?
No, there were some good ones.
I could sit on a porch all afternoon with Claude Humphrey. That guy's like talking
he
to your grandpa.
Your speed.
Yeah, definitely that's my speed.
Remember I was saying last show, I was like, there's always one guy each year. You don't really know who that guy is too well, but they're a lot of fun to listen to. Claude Humphrey wins
Claude
the award.
Humphrey,
Ray Guy? I guess not.
Going back to the Oscar thing, you know when you certain categories don't even get on the telecast? Ray Guy, they could have just inducted him off camera. And then
what is wrong with
that's
this?
That's an outrage.
What's wrong with this?
This sounds like something the anti-Raider guy, Chris Wessling, would say.
No, I have to come clean with something. The Hall of Fame just doesn't really excite me and never has.
Mark, you've shared a similar sentiment.
Really?
About the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, you have. A recent podcast.
I was on Saturday sitting on a porch with Dan Hanses.
What about Claude
drinking
Humphrey?
A beer overlooking the sea.
Yeah,
and I missed the entire
whose porch.
Well, it was a porch of a tavern that overlooked the ocean. And I didn't see a lick of the Hall of Fame. I've taped it, and I'll watch it tonight. Maybe
we have. All right, so that's our Hall
of
Fame.
You better save that for a couple of nights.
Very exciting.
It's interesting because you're the historical guy of the group.
I'm not big on enshrining anybody into anything.
There's sneaky heat in the office between Chris Wessling and Elliot Harrison over who's the true master of the NFL's history. Obviously, you know where our allegiances lie within this room. But, you know, Harrison has his own cronies. This could be ending in a street alley at some point.
He can have it.
Woo!
I like it. You're playing it smart. You're playing it like you don't care.
So today's show, we're going to do a lot of news because we have not been on since Friday and a lot of things have gone down, even in the last 24 hours. This is the busy season of the NFL. It's funny how quickly we got here. So we're going to go through all the big headlines and, of course, get into the first game of the season, the Hall of Fame game in Canton, played Sunday night between the Giants and Bills. Mark, pop quiz, what was the final score?
17-14 in favor of the New York Football Giants.
Ooh. Incorrect. 17-13.
Well, ooh, close. I came pretty close.
Pretty close. All right, but before we get into that game, we want to check in with TD, who, speaking of Canton, spent the weekend there doing things. You know, we don't really know what he was doing there, but he is back without even a day off. He went straight from Ohio to California to the office. What's up, TD? That's why they go.
What's going on, guys?
Some old school Eminem.
Now he's got his own entrance music. I love it.
Hey, TD, does it bother you that Wessling has rendered your entire voyage to Ohio useless?
It does, actually. It really does. And I was there for Ray Guy's speech, and it was fun. And, you know, it gave me hope that one day, you know, maybe there'll be a podcast producer category. And maybe, who knows? But I do agree, though. But really long speeches, it reminds me of like the Dave Chappelle Wrap It Up segment. You know, play that music. Wrap it up, B. Time to go. Let's wrap it up.
Did you and Dave Damashek, of course, the host of the Dave Damashek football program.
Available on iTunes.
iTunes and Stitcher and other formats. Any moments where you guys bonded, maybe sitting in a tavern as well over some ribs or something like that?
Not really. We had a segment set up in like the swimming pool room of like the Hall of Fame Hotel where we're, you know, getting guests to, you know, interview for the podcast. And there was one time, did you guys see Daniel Jeremiah jump into the pool at Jaguars Stadium?
Oh, we did.
So we set up, you know, Dave's response because there's a pool right there. So let's do it right there. And Dave checking out, you know? So,
wow.
You're checking out.
All right, TD, let's do some news.
Oh, yeah.
Mark's eyeball just came out of his head.
He's bringing it.
That's kind of gross. Was that the Transformers again?
No, it wasn't. That was Bradley Cooper voicing Rockin' Raccoon from Guardians of the Galaxy that came out this past week. Blew records apart. You guys, come on. You have to be up to date with the Marvel Universe.
Well, three out of the four of us have seen Boyhood. That was a great movie. It's unbelievable.
I heard it was great.
You should see
it. But you got to go check out Guardians. You don't have to be into superhero stuff. It's funny.
For some reason, my wife, who usually has very good taste in movies, now late stage pregnancy, decided she really wanted to see The Purge Anarchy for whatever reason. And so we went to the theater in Culver on Friday. And when I said, two tickets for The Purge Anarchy, the guy looked at me like, all the options here. And you seen The Purge? And he was right. It was a terrible movie.
Shocker.
All right, let's do some news. This is a great day for Chris Wessling, who is not a fan of the Cincinnati Bengals, because guess what? His boy, Andy Dalton, is locked in long term. The Bengals agreed to a 6-year, $96 million extension with the fourth-year quarterback. NFL media insider Ian Rappaport reported Monday. The key here, of course, always is the guaranteed money. It is $17 million, a $12 million signing bonus, and a $5 million roster bonus that comes due in 3 days. That's more guaranteed money than Colin Kaepernick got from the Niners. Chris, I know you view Andy Dalton as the prime meridian of NFL quarterbacks. What does this tell you?
It tells me that I wouldn't use the word locked in. He got more than Kaepernick, but $37 million less than Jay Cutler. And really, when you look at this contract, it's essentially a 2-year, $25 million contract. The Bengals can walk away after that.
And he got less than Everson Griffin this offseason. That's what I'm taking away from these quarterback contracts. It makes a lot of sense. It's pay as you go. If Andy Dalton continues to lose playoff games in a horrific fashion, they'll have a legitimate choice to make in a couple years, and maybe they'll go in another direction. If he improves, then they'll keep paying him great money.
Well, is this, if you're a Bengals fan, though, isn't this a tad depressing?
It is, until what Wes is saying. If it's really only a 2-year commitment, that seems fair for what he's delivered. Not great success in the playoffs, but he's shown promise at times as well.
I mean, they didn't get fleeced, and the Bengals are actually better than a lot of teams about not getting fleeced on deals. And the Hugh Jackson offense is probably much better for Dalton than what he was dealing with Gruden. But if I'm a Cincy fan, this feels depressing.
Why? Because you're basically committing to quarterback purgatory, to mediocrity.
I think so.
I like that the Bengals painted this as they were unwavering all along and they're betting big on Dalton. Really, they drafted a running back 2 years in a row, so they're going to run the ball and take the ball out of Dalton's hands, and now they pay him basically at a level that's a second-tier quarterback, right, not a franchise quarterback.
The only reason I wouldn't like this move if I was a Bengals fan would be if I thought it's going to prevent the Bengals from looking at any other quarterbacks. Like, that is off. And looking at what they did this year, drafting Aaron Murray, they took another chance. I know it was in the fifth round, but
A.J. McCarron.
It just makes me think that they're still going to be open to keeping the quarterback position open, maybe, if Dalton struggles.
It prevents them from something else, too, keeping a talented and deep roster, because you could do that when you were paying $1 million a year for a quarterback, but now if you're going to pay $15 million against the salary cap, and A.J. Green has a huge contract coming up, too, it's going to be hard to build a deep roster.
But isn't that just business? If you have a quarterback that's going into his fourth, fifth year starting, you're going to have to pay that guy at some
point. It doesn't have to be. You could. Mike Brown actually talked about this a couple of months ago, that he was conflicted. He mentioned this, and he was very honest and said, there are two ways to go about it. You have to make a decision. Do you pay your quarterback $15 to $20 million a year, or do you draft another one and keep that advantage of
that's
having
a deeper
roster?
That's why this is depressing to me.
Well, we got a great tweet from someone that asked you, Dan, this is good news because with this long-term extension, this would give you more time, Dan, to figure out what is the after Dalton scale.
Yeah, I'm still working on it. I'm not sure.
Because our new listeners, people that have just jumped in this summer, they might not even know what the after Dalton scale is.
I had a hot take.
Okay.
If you keep count at home, two people don't know what the AD scale is. Dan has this and the Bengals front office.
Oh, hot take. I like it.
Ow!
So for anyone just joining in, basically the definition is Andy Dalton's the prime meridian of quarterbacks, and if you have a quarterback that's ranked after Dalton, then you need a new quarterback. That's
well,
about it.
But this is where it gets tricky because
that's when you need to look for a new quarterback if he's after
Andy
Dalton.
Dalton goes through one of those phases where he's getting, you know, really hot and playing well. Then does he move at all, or do you just assume
only
he stays where he is?
The line moves.
Only if the curator of the Dalton scale truly believes that that is a step forward instead of a hot streak. And I never believed it was anything more than a hot streak.
Well, is there a chance that in mid-November we could look back on this podcast and say, you know what? We didn't give Andy Dalton enough credit. He was going into his fourth year. He's in such a good situation with Hugh Jackson and all those weapons and a great defense. Couldn't he make us look bad with a nice little season?
Absolutely.
They seem to think so. He's going to throw the ball probably 150 less times this season. And if they are going to make him into a game manager, well, he can do that.
Yeah, I mean, NFL players aren't static. They're constantly getting better or worse, and that could happen.
Hugh Dalton is all in on Andy Dalton. He called him this weekend sensational. Sensational, Andy Dalton. And he said that it's – and then you even talk some beat writers. Coley Harvey for ESPN.com remarked that it was like a light switch has gone off. I know this is all summer camp talk, but how he looks like a totally different guy. And I've always said I know I'm a little higher on him than perhaps Wes and Greg and Mark are, just because, you know, I look at the numbers and I see that he has gotten to the playoffs and they've been a winning organization. That's not an easy thing to do, which he's done three straight years. So I still think there's some real chance he becomes a guy that's better than a number 16 in the league quarterback.
I like Hugh Jackson. I think we all do. But this is the same guy that sold the Oakland farm for Carson Palmer, a late-era Carson Palmer, and called it one of the best trades in NFL history. So, you know, I'm not going to put their quotes into too much high atmosphere praise at this point.
Well, maybe Hugh is just telling Andy Dalton, hey, just throw the ball really high in the air. A.J. Green can go jump. So can Marvin Jones. It's not that complicated.
It's a good strategy.
We talk about quarterbacks get judged on third downs, close games, and playoffs. These are Andy Dalton's problems.
He stunk. I mean, that's the thing. People say we're picking on him for playoffs, but he's been awful in the playoffs.
It's not even just the playoffs. Against good defenses, he struggles.
It doesn't appear that we're going to see David Wilson on the field again. The New York Giants running back had his doctor's visit on Monday, this coming after the stinger suffered last week, and he's been advised to end his career or not return to the NFL. And he gave a quote on this, Wilson did, which really hammered home that this looks like it's the end. I don't want anyone to feel sorry for me or pity me. I lived my dream. A lot of people only get to dream their dream. I lived that dream. Now I have a chance to dream another dream and live that too. Very sad story for a guy that in this very podcast, not the studio, but this group, we talked about how this guy could be a superstar special type of running back, and now his career is over at age 23, I believe.
Well, in this studio 10 days ago, we were talking about what a positive story it was that he was back on the practice field and he could help this offense, and it's just a reminder in the NFL how quickly things can go for players. One day you can be a positive story, the next your career is over.
In an era in which running backs are seen as replaceable, he was probably one of a dozen that has actual playmaking ability and could be a difference maker if he was healthy.
I guess outside of Victor Cruz, if he's healthy, it's one guy on New York that you said, this is a real difference maker in this offense. It changes their backfield. I think what we saw last night from Andre Williams, he's going to see more time than I think I would have taken a week or two ago. He looked interesting.
Yeah.
But it changes their backfield big time.
Yeah, and it's almost strange. I was talking about it downstairs with Greg, how he came back. He had the neck fusion surgery, got cleared, and then ran into a teammate during a practice last week, and all of a sudden he went back to the doctor and they said, your career is over. Shows you how neck injuries are a fickle business and such a dangerous thing, and it also sheds light on why guys struggle to get cleared to play again. More running back news. Monte Ball, the Denver Broncos, is going to be out for the rest of the preseason and training camp after undergoing an emergency appendectomy on Monday. Ball is expected to be back by the regular season opener against the Colts, which is good news for the Broncos, obviously. For the time being, Ronnie Hillman and C.J. Anderson are expected to see the bulk of the touches this summer. Big news or not?
Post-hype sleeper, Ronnie Hillman.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. You don't hear anything about him this year. Last
Ball's
year,
getting the hype.
Yeah, post hype. Donnie Hillman.
I would argue. I think C.J. Anderson is just as intriguing as Hillman, and yeah, I don't think this is huge news in terms of the type of injury it is. It's not something that's going to recur. You don't have that twice, but
that would be weird.
That would be very
strange.
That'd
be a really bad surgeon.
Question though, but do you looking at Ball? We have no knowledge that he can last full NFL year in general. I mean, do you trust their backfield behind him? I'm not sure I do. That's not a really deep group right there. Hillman has been a disaster up to now.
They could pick up anyone off the discard pile in August, put him as their starting running back, and they'd be fine.
And that's how he ended up on number 7 on our Making the Leap list. Not so much about what he did as a rookie, although he showed promise, but that he stepped into the greatest situation you can as a running back in the NFL right now.
Here's how good it is to be a running back for Peyton Manning. A lot of people believe Dominic Rhodes should have been the MVP of a Super Bowl.
Well, he's made a lot of money.
At the end of that game, I thought, are they going to give it to Dominic Rhodes? They could give it to Nick. They just gave it to Manning.
Here's how good Peyton Manning's offense is. They could sign Willis McGahee right now, and he could average over 3 yards a carry.
No. Oh. Now you're starting to have delusions.
All right, more injury news. This in Chicago, wide receiver Marcus.
I don't know.
We need the Jairus Bird sound drop guy to get on YouTube and figure this out.
Jairus Bird.
Bears wide receiver Mr. Wilson has suffered a fractured clavicle in practice. This is the number 3 receiver for the Chicago Bears, who is now going to be out of action. There's no timetable for his return. I know Wilson said when asked today if he needed surgery, it was unclear at that time. He didn't know yet. And Mark Trestman spoke about it. It's extremely disappointing. He was continuing to ascend. Now he goes on the shelf.
I think the Bears had big plans for him. He was a much better number 3 option than Earl Bennett was last year.
And Earl Bennett's not on the team. Little bit of a thin wide receiver group after those 3. Now that's a big, but you have the probably the best starting duo in the league, but who's going to replace him? You're going to have to find snaps for someone in that offense.
Well, and Kevin Patra noted that it's 5'9" Josh Wilson who potentially steps into that spot.
I thought he was a cornerback.
It's another Josh Wilson.
Oh,
there's multiple.
This is it's a large group of individuals in the NFL. There are occasional name duplications. There's 2 Alex Smiths. There's 2 Josh Wilsons. But he's 5'9", so it's got to be tough to be hanging out with a bunch of receivers. You go out to dinner with these guys. They're all taller than trees, and you're a little 5'9" Josh Wilson.
That's how I feel hanging out with you guys.
Well, not
monsters.
Me.
Giants. Physical giants of the industry.
Only one of us over 5'9".
Yeah.
I got a tweet over the weekend that our Jairus Bird drop has ruined his name for our listener, that every time someone says their name, they just hear that in the back of their head. And it's one of the proudest moments of my career.
I was going to say, ruined or made it great?
That's what I think.
Moving forward. We had Mike Tannenbaum, the former Jets GM, in the studio, I guess, was it last Monday?
Yeah.
Sounds about right. We asked him about something he said on NFL Network about Rex Ryan being tempted, or he expected Rex Ryan to find a role for Michael Vick in the offense, whether Geno Smith broke camp as the team's starter or not. I guess it came up during Rex Ryan's press conference on Monday, and he kind of dismissed it out of hand with a nice little funny quote. This is from Ryan. Never worked out great the last time. Referring, of course, to Tim Tebow and the absolute storm that led to for the organization. Probably cost Tannenbaum his job and put Ryan on the hot seat. So don't expect to see, if Geno Smith starts the season, which we all expect now, to see Michael Vick in any sub-packages.
Right. God forbid we put the better playmaking quarterback on the field.
You are living in the past, my friend.
Huh?
It's Geno Smith's world now.
I read that Vick lit up some of that Jets scrimmage with some big plays.
Mm. They didn't score a touchdown.
Well, he ripped off runs. I think he's dynamic. To me, it has nothing to do with Tim Tebow trying to get what he could do on the field. Vick's
like
a totally different animal.
Like that you're dialed into the green and white scrimmage.
Well,
the annual tradition. Like
one of my responsibilities, as is yours and everyone else's, is to read about football.
Sure.
It struck me as a strange thought. Thought by Mr. T, only because Vick is known to get hurt, and you brought him in supposedly to be insurance to Geno Smith, so why do you have Michael Vick in on practice running around and taking shots from defenses? So didn't make sense to me, and I think Ryan rightfully is scared off by the idea of playing that game again and what it meant to the organization the last time around.
I see this as growth from Rex Ryan. He's had all these little wildcat tricks. Just stop. Run a real offense. Every other team does.
There was a time when we used to expect every halfway decent rookie quarterback would make a huge leap in year two. That was the big thing, that you're going to improve a lot.
How'd that work out for your boy J.P. Lossman?
Well, he wasn't too good. Maybe Geno can do it. Get the Jets going.
I hope so. And speaking of Jets quarterbacks, Taj Boyd drafted in the sixth round. There was a report from Seth Walder of the New York Daily News that Boyd has not showed really anything on the field, and it might be looking like a draft day mistake by the Jets. A certain NFL Network personality might be wrong in his prediction that Taj Boyd will be starting week one.
Do you remember my prediction?
What?
Never plays a snap for the New York Jets.
I think a lot of people got on board with you on that. So, sorry, unnamed NFL Network talent. You're not going to get this one right. Moving forward, the San Francisco 49ers have given up on John Baldwin. Jonathan or John? More wide receiver questions.
I think he actually officially goes by John now.
That's like the Michael versus Mike Vick.
And I don't want to start any issues with listeners that go by John without the H, but I don't know if I trust that guy, the John without the H guy.
It's a fair question.
Anyway, so, of course, the Niners acquired John Baldwin last August in a trade in which they sent yes.
Isn't John Hamm your supposed doppelganger, a John without an H? Your hero, your spirit animal, as you would say?
Call him an outlier. Anyway, so there was a swap of bust first rounders last August in which the Niners got John Baldwin with an N, and the Kansas City Chiefs got A.J. Jenkins. Now the Niners have given up. They cut ties with Baldwin on Sunday. You would think that maybe a guy that has done nothing in the league would take some time to find a job, but he caught on immediately. He was claimed off waivers by the Detroit Lions on Monday. So John Baldwin is now on his third team, a first-round pick in the 2012 draft, trying to jumpstart his career with yet another team.
And Niners beat writer Eric Branch noted that before he was waived, Baldwin was moving, in quotes, as if he was severely sleep-deprived in practice.
Maybe he is.
And Branch wasn't the only beat writer that got a little shot in at Baldwin when the announcement came down. Apparently, no one's ever looked worse in practices in the summer than John Baldwin did. That was just the funniest one, I thought.
I'm surprised the Patriots didn't put in for him, because, after all, he's every bit as good as Julio Jones, according to Bill Belichick in the book War Room.
Well, you're going to have to explain a little bit for the listeners.
In the book War Room, Belichick, I believe, called up Pioli and Dimitroff and said, told Dimitroff, I don't know why you traded for Julio Jones, and then praised Pioli for drafting Baldwin, who he said was every bit as good as Julio.
I actually went back to the book yesterday to see if I could pull, because I remember there was something about it, and it was that Dimitroff called Belichick and Pioli for their advice on the Julio Jones. Hey, I'm going to make this trade. I think I'm going to make this trade. What do you guys think? And Belichick's response was, well, why give up that much when you could take a guy like Jonathan Baldwin probably where you're at? In fairness, in that same little section, he mentions how he thinks Tyron Smith is the best player in the draft, which is pretty
Belichick's
good. He said the second or third best player.
Good call.
But yeah.
Bill Belichick's the greatest.
But yeah, not the
I had to block a guy on Twitter after I sent that tweet to you and Ian.
Oh, right.
Yeah, this guy said, how does it feel to take a shot at somebody with three rings? I didn't even have a chance to tweet back, lighten up, Francis. I just blocked him.
It is crazy, though. You don't see first-round picks get knocked out of the league before they enter their third season, and I think that's what's happening to Jonathan Baldwin. At this point, it would be a big surprise if he made the Lions. I would imagine he'll be out of a job this year, and he was a first-rounder 2 years ago.
Apparently, he's one of those dreaded, lacks the proper discipline, work ethic on the field and doesn't put in the work off the field. Not a good combination for a young millionaire.
By the way, A.J. Jenkins totally escaping the critique he should be getting in the same
when he gets cut,
news.
He might make the Chiefs.
Sorry.
He will make the Chiefs, probably.
Well, that's because they've got someone named, you know, Ernest Hemingway's cousin as their third receiver, Junior Hemingway.
They also have a Poe.
Let's keep moving forward with disappointing wide receiver talk. This is really fun. Colts offensive coordinator Pep Hamilton acknowledged Saturday that Hakeem Nicks doesn't appear to be working at full capacity as the team rolls into August. This is the quote from Hamilton. Yeah, I don't know if I can say that I've seen enough. This is according to Tom James of the Tribune Star. I think he's still working to get himself in game shape. This is Hakeem Nicks, who's coming off a bad last year with the Giants, where he had no touchdowns in 15 games, signed a one-year prove-it deal. You would think he would be hyper-motivated to get that money and get paid, and he shows up and he's out of shape. What do we make? How do we make any sense of this guy?
It's August 4th.
Is he hurt?
Maybe yeah, I wondered if he was healthy. Maybe, you know, he couldn't work out the way some would if he was dealing with something earlier
he
in the offseason.
He sat out practice on Monday, so maybe there's something to it.
But their durability is a skill in the NFL at some point. And Hakeem Nicks, when was the last time he was healthy? 3 years ago?
When the Giants won the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
It is concerning. You know, Bucky Brooks called the Colts the fifth best group of wideouts in the NFL, but that had a lot to do with Nicks. And if he's no-go or if he's unproductive, which I think Wes is right, give him some time, that's, you know, you got to suddenly rely on Reggie Wayne.
Pep Hamilton also talked Friday about this being a war of attrition. They lose their starting left guard, Donald Thomas, for the season. They lose running back depth, Vic Ballard, for the season. Keem Nicks, whatever's going on with him. The Colts just aren't as deep as those superstar teams.
But they're deep at receiver. Because they're counting on Reggie Wayne to come off a torn ACL, which again is counting something. But even if that didn't work out perfect, you still have T.Y. Hilton, you still have Dwayne Allen, you still have Kobe Fleener. It's not – you've got a lot of teams with a lot more problems catching the ball than that team. You don't think so?
I mean, last year in the playoffs
– Dwayne Allen would be the number one receiver in second.
Griff Whalen was Luck's number two receiver in the playoffs last year. I mean, this team could easily be back down to no depth in a hurry.
I didn't mean to take a shot at the Browns, Mark. I'm sorry.
No, just let's roll on.
Actually, let's rewind real quick. I just saw on Twitter that the Lions released wide receiver Reese Wiggins to make room for John Baldwin on their 90-man roster. Mark, a quick scouting report on Reese Wiggins and whether he'll catch on somewhere else.
When it comes to Wiggins, you're looking at a physically guy, not a dominating presence, but yes. He's going to be a camp body somewhere because he's got interesting hands.
Like they're compelling? Like they're, you talk to them?
Listen, he's got some skills, but he just doesn't fit what Detroit's doing on offense, from what I gather.
All right. I thought you weren't a liar.
Never heard of the guy.
The Green Bay Packers have finally set a date to celebrate the great Brett Favre, number four. Will have his number retired and will be inducted into Packers Hall of Fame next summer. Not this summer, not this season. Next summer, the team announced in a press conference on Monday. Brett Favre, of course, played 16 seasons in Green Bay. Things fell off a little bit. He ended up with the Jets and then the Vikings. But now they're ready to do it. And a reason for the delay, we had been told, is that there was a worry both by the Packers and Brett Favre that he would be booed by the Lambeau Field crowd, which never really checked out to me. And the way you're reacting, Mark, you agree. But they're going to give it the year. So they accomplish two things here. They get all the speculation out of the way, and then they push it back a year and hope the Packers fan base will forgive Brett Favre. I still don't quite get that.
It's pretty clear how deep the fissure was between Favre and someone inside the team. I mean, do you really believe that a Packers fan at this stage is going to boo Brett Favre?
They're nice people. They're going to boo him for his three MVP awards and his Lombardi trophy.
It sounded like listening to the press conference today that Bob Harlan, who used to have a bigger role running the Packers, helped to bridge whatever tension there was between Favre and, I don't think we're guessing here, to say Ted Thompson, and basically how that was all handled when Favre left. Thompson played the bad guy because he thought that was the right thing to do. And, oh, by the way, it was absolutely the right thing to do. He couldn't have played it any better, Ted Thompson. Brett Favre is the one that didn't treat the Packers that great those last couple of years where he kept waffling.
And it was smart to announce this sooner rather than later because it already, to me, it crept into farce that they were dragging this out as if it was some type of, well, you know, world-ending story that Brett Favre, will he be honored? Just relax. Put him in the hall.
You know you're a big deal when they announce your number's going to be retired a year from now and that they have a press release that says the announcement to announce this announcement for a year from now is tomorrow. And that's the whole press release.
Oh, and we heard over the weekend that Packers fans are already dialing up Canton area hotels trying to reserve rooms for two summers from now.
He'll get booed, sure. Anyway, moving forward. That will not happen.
Chris, all of a sudden, you're going to go to Canton for that one because I know you love the Hall of Fame.
The San Francisco 49ers have taken a little more of a hit to the depth of their defense. Nose tackle Glenn Dorsey is likely out for the entirety of the 2014 season after suffering a torn biceps, NFL media insider Ian Rappaport reported. Dorsey started 13 of 16 games for the Niners last season, a good run stuffer, and now he's out of the picture. Gentlemen, I want to ask you this. Dorsey out of the picture. You're not going to have Navarro Bowman back for half the year. You don't know what he's going to be when he gets back. We don't know what's going to happen with Alden Smith. Are we chipping away at the veneer of the Niners' defense as we enter 2014?
We are. Greg mentioned this, I believe, about a month ago, that of all the superpowers, he could see the 49ers not missing the playoffs.
Wow.
Or not making the playoffs.
Wow.
Well, we got to pick some teams to not make it back. I just have a feeling this year, more than most, it's really hard to knock some of these teams out. Let's get the 49ers
out of it. Jim
Harbaugh
better be careful if that's what happens, because he might be set up to be kicked out of town if that happens.
And you went through all those defensive questions. Ian Williams, who's been a good player at nose tackle, has serious health concerns too, and that's an open question as well.
Four ankle surgeries since September of last year.
So that's the middle of their defense, and Dorsey was a guy that if you watched the coach's film, he stood out as one of their most underrated players. I mean, he was the key to their run defense. He played really well for them.
And Bowman, we believed was the best linebacker in football last year, right?
He was unbelievable.
Got an argument for that, for sure.
Alden Smith's, you know, right there with the best pure pass rushers. It'll be interesting.
By the way, Patrick Willis, an unfortunate oversight in our first ballot Hall of Fame conversation. He should have been on the list as somebody to talk about. Hmm. So when you see that up on the website, he'll be involved with the list. So
someone over the weekend tweeted Dan. So, you know, Dan just predicted this essentially, but tweeted that they believe Jim Harbaugh would be the New York Jets coach 1 year from now.
I would sign off on that.
That would be fun. Now, I know, was that the last bit of news, Dan? You usually
that's what's happening. Yes.
Well, I was going to throw out something that happened during the show, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. Do we have time for this?
Yeah, of course we do.
All right. Arian Foster told reporters today that he pondered retirement during this offseason.
Pondered is interesting because he's a ponderous individual right now.
What?
You know what? If you want to retire, Arian Foster, retire.
Well, wait a minute.
We don't care.
Hold on.
By the way, this is a real story. It's not a Sessler story.
Yeah.
This is true. Yeah.
It was because, and I agree with you, I find him very tedious, and we've discussed this many times, but he was genuinely concerned.
Greg upset about the harsh criticism of the Houston Texans running back.
He basically was genuine. He came off a back injury, and he was basically saying, football is not, you don't put going on IR and getting paralyzed over seeing your grandkids when you're 50 or 60. I mean, I can't kill him for that.
Dan, what annoys you more? Arian Foster's ponderous thoughts?
Yeah.
Or Chip Kelly being a genius?
Mm. That's a tough one. I would say the Arian Foster thing annoys me more only because he used to be it seems to be a pleasant guy, and you'll hear like guys like John McClain, who are respected in this industry, say that Foster used to be somebody they could talk to, and then at some point, Arian Foster decided that the media was the enemy and that he had insight on the world that no one else has, and everyone else is stupid, and now he's dangling this retirement carrot. Like, I'm supposed to care.
I have information that may change your opinion on this issue.
What?
Chip Kelly had his punt returners fielding punts with two tennis balls in their hands.
The worst!
That sounds like a good idea.
There's a reason.
Yeah, he's a genius.
You know what? There's a reason that trophy case is empty in Philly. You know what I mean?
Maybe you give him more than 1 year.
Because of the 40 years that led up to Chip Kelly, who won Coach of the Year. This one that, year,
listen,
give me a break.
Honestly, that didn't make much sense. But I just wanted to get another shot in at the great Chip Kelly.
Real quick, though, in defense of Arian Foster, he does have other interests in life. He is actually a very good poet.
And so do I.
All we know about his
other
interests.
That's what I'm saying. He cannot stop telling us that.
And he is also an actor, you know?
Yeah. What about Big Bun?
Dan's got a lot of interest. Sessler's got a lot of interest. You know, you don't hear them honking about it because it's a football podcast.
All right. That just aggravated me. Everything about that.
Greg's got a bounce in his step right now.
Finally, let's talk about the Sunday night game between the Giants and Bills. The final score in that game, Mark?
17-13 in favor of the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, so why don't we talk about some takeaways from the game. Obviously, not going to put too much stock into an August 3rd matchup in Canton, Ohio. But it's still fun to watch and speculate and talk about what we saw. So who wants to start? Why don't we throw it to the scientist, Chris Wessel?
My one big takeaway is that I am going to be getting a high-octane brisket contraption from Jackson Market. Because Greg has Robert Woods leading the Bills in receptions, and this guy doesn't even play with the first team.
Easy there, pal. Wait, so suddenly Chris Wessling is putting everything.
Wes Vaseline is the importance of early August football.
Yeah, suddenly,
depending on the argument.
This isn't even week one of the preseason. This is before that. They don't even have locker rooms at that stadium.
And Woods looked good.
Wes's cackling tells us that he knows.
Right, not to mention Robert Woods dominated when he was on the field. You know who led the Bills in receiving yesterday? Robert Woods.
He can beat fourth team cornerbacks.
Sammy Watkins targeted three times by an overwhelmed EJ Manuel and did not have a reception, but that really wasn't on him.
Can we just change EJ Manuel's name to an overwhelmed EJ Manuel?
He certainly did. That was one of the takeaways I had, was that not going to get too caught up in what he did, but he looked like a guy that didn't have complete control and has what's known as slow eyes. So he was recognizing things too late. He threw three passes that were batted down, including one straight right into a defender's hands that was not caught. So Manuel, if the Bills were hoping they could use this first game to get excited about Manuel, not yet.
And that's three batted down passes, one nearly picked off, and two completions. And one of those passes to Sammy Watkins overthrew him by a solid 10 yards. It was an ugly throw.
Charlie Casserly went off on that pass.
Well, he should. He was well protected on that throw, and
they have all camp to work on this pass. See, they don't have their timing down.
The pass is for the birds. See,
quarterbacks that miss any passes by that much always open your eye. Josh Freeman was like that. JP Lossman was another guy. It's like when you miss,
Cam
you
Newton
miss by 10, 15. Yeah, a little bit. I was really surprised by that Woods thing, though. It was weird because
it is weird
that Mike Williams started over him. Chris Hogan was on the field before
7-11. 7-11 playing ahead of Robert Woods.
That was legitimately my biggest takeaway. Was what's going on?
Don't
they
send messages occasionally with these things?
Maybe.
My takeaway was Andre Williams. I thought for New York, like we had heard about all you get are these practice reports. Oh, he's a goal line guy. You're going to watch Jennings and whoever else go up and down the field. Andre Williams looked every bit as fast as Jennings to me, and he was he looked fresh. I mean, and it's, you know, losing David Wilson's tough, but he's interesting.
Give Greg a little bit of credit here. I think
ow!
After the draft, in the like 1 minute that he wasn't talking about Bishop Sankey, I think he mentioned Andre Williams.
Yeah, we did a podcast segment, I believe. Who will be the number two running back to Bishop Sankey?
Apparently, Greg's never heard of Terrence West.
My answer was Andre Williams. He did look good.
It is important to note also that the Giants did nothing in their two positions against the Bills' first-team defense, and then Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams tore up the field in the third possession, but that was against the Bills' second team. That's why people, cannot get too excited about preseason. You never know, really. But I guess the point stands that you were saying, Mark, that he was moving quickly. It's a big guy that was shedding tacklers, that looked fast and got in the end zone, and that's good for them, especially for a team that needed some good news in that backfield after the David Wilson.
And a team that doesn't typically play its rookie running backs much. You don't see that happen under Coughlin, but if he's forced into it this year,
He's playing. He's got a role. He's already their short yardage guy, and I think he'll be their primary backup for sure.
He has to hold off three yards in a cloud of dust, Peyton Hillis.
Tough task if this were 4 years ago.
I got some heat on Twitter for remarking that my dresser had the same level as Explosion as Peyton Hillis.
From who? Who's disagreeing?
Doesn't really turn the corner like he used to. One guy was like, well, let's see, you take him on if he's coming at you. Like, obviously,
block him.
Idiot. I'm not
block
going to
right
tackle
away.
Peyton Hillis or win a foot race with him, but I'm just saying he's not a fast NFL running back.
You don't need that person in your followers.
All right, that's good to know. Finally, I didn't know if anybody else a little weirded out by A, the 33-yard extra point, and B, the sheer mammoth Empire State Building size of the new uprights?
I like what you tweeted. Dan basically, in all caps, admitted that he was terrified by the new goalposts.
I love them.
I couldn't agree more. They're very bizarre.
I am a coward, full disclosure. Full coward.
I believe what you said is true.
It's the dream that I've had as a football fan for years to finally raise the goalposts and to see that come to life. It was a vision. It was beautiful.
Before this was...
Now we'll know if there were field goals or not. Isn't that great?
Before this was Adam Carolla's cause celebre, was it yours too?
No, I think I just copied that. But it was a thing that drove me crazy. Maybe I didn't put it together like he did. As for the extra points, that is the dumbest rule proposal I've ever seen, because a 33-yard extra point is just as automatic as an extra point. And if it's just going to be automatic, get rid of them. They went a half measure. It was half-assed. They got to back it up about 5 yards at least, or don't bother.
If you were, don't take. Bother.
Totally on board with you there.
Everyone agrees. If you're Buffalo, you have to be concerned when your second-round pick, Cyrus Kwonjo, is getting eaten alive, while your seventh-round pick on the offensive line, Chantrell Henderson, looked a lot better, I thought.
Kwonjo's been killed by the writers at practice, saying he doesn't look remotely ready for the NFL.
Well, like, he doesn't look healthy.
Someone who's not going to be playing much as a rookie.
He's been eaten alive and killed?
That doesn't sound good.
One of those doesn't fit. He's going to have to be alive to be eaten alive.
All right.
That's a really fair point.
All right, so this is our final show in Studio 4, the Icebox, as we lovingly call it. We never really called it, but I just called it there. We are moving back to the studio. I would say, like, I wouldn't even mention that, because what does it matter to the listener? But you will tell the difference. When we get back to the studio, when Greg was raising his voice during the podcast a couple times, and it was like, you don't have to worry about that anymore, because we're going to be high-end podcast studio relevant. Right, TD?
That is right. I love how you just blew out an audience's ears again to prove your point. You have no limit, Dan Hazes.
No limit. Ooh, I took one out of your book there, guys.
Oh, yeah.
A little hip-hop reference.
I can get up loud as nasally as I want next week. This week, I guess.
So we'll be back in the studio. We'll, of course, hit up all the news that comes. And we have a full schedule of preseason games. It's the proper beginning of the preseason, week one, this weekend, or at the end of this week. So we'll get into all that. And maybe we'll even do our first team of ATL nominee. So we have a lot coming up. And we'll be back on Wednesday. Signing off, this is Dan Hansis for The Sizzler, The Mailman, The Boss, and TD. Beautiful.
I don't think it's Marquez.
Yeah, Marcus, I would go with.
Marcus?
Yeah, I would go with Marcus.
Okay, really? Marcus.
Well, what else would it be?
Wait.
I don't know.
Marquez.